Welcome to Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie Knorr. Thanks for joining us. This week, Milwaukee's Public Policy Forum played host to government researchers from across the country. They're members of a national organization dating back to 1914 called the Governmental Research Association. Every year it holds a conference, and this year it took place in Milwaukee. During their time here, the researchers are reflecting on everything from education standards to pension and health care reform. WUWM's environmental reporter Susan Bentz slipped into a panel discussion entitled The Latest in Water Resource Management Strategies and Activities, Green Infrastructure and Inclusive Project Planning, whether inside or beyond the Great Lakes Basin, dominated the conversation.
Not so long ago, the topic that attracted a conference room full of government researchers might have been titled The Latest in Wastewater Management. Kevin Schaefer says those days are over. He's executive director of the Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewerage District. As the conference host city, Schaefer had the chance to toot MMSD's horn. He says sustainability started long before he came on the scene in 2002. In the 1920s, Milwaukee came up with a way to package and sell the solids left in the treatment process.
Now, we used to call it sludge, which was just a terrible term. So now we call it biosolids. It sounds so much better. And since 1926, Milwaukee has been producing a fertilizer for your lawns called Milorganite, Milwaukee Organic Nitrate.
Schaefer admits business at the city's sewage treatment plants has not always been so rosy. Until its massive deep tunnel system was installed, the city was plagued by repeated basement backups and overflows during not even so major storm events.
In Milwaukee, I should add, we had a lawsuit in late 1970s that drove Milwaukee to the deep tunnel system.
Today, Milwaukee sees light at the end of the tunnel. It has not only dramatically reduced storm overflow incidents, but the sewerage district and partner groups are reaching upstream to try to reduce polluting runoff. MMSD has also set out to achieve a high-bar sustainability plan. Panelist Brian Jensen says right now, the sprawling Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania sewerage system has no time to contemplate such lofty goals. He's with the Allegheny Conference on Community Development and says Pittsburgh is under EPA mandate to eliminate sanitary sewer overflows and drastically reduce spillovers at the combined sanitary and storm sewer level. Jensen calls it a daunting $3.6 billion task for a city struggling to reimagine its economic future.
We're under a consent decree to finish all of our work by 2026. It's not a very long period of time that we have to deal with these issues. And again, since we have such a variety of organizations and agencies involved in this, 83 municipalities, the County Health Department, the Department of Environmental Protection, the state level and the EPA, we've got a lot of hoops to jump through and a lot of work to do until we get to the point that we're in compliance.
David Ulrich shifted the discussion from Pittsburgh's challenges back to the Great Lakes. He represents a consortium of over 100 cities bordering the water bodies and says their list of concerns begins with the letter A, the threat of Asian carp.
Another situation up just on Lake Huron, Kincardine, Ontario. They're proposing a deep geologic repository 1 kilometer from the shore of Lake Huron for low and intermediate radioactive waste. That's something that affects, you know, the entire Great Lakes and the St. Lawrence. And I think we've got to figure out ways to look at these things where the political boundaries, whether it's national, state, provincial, city, county, whatever, become less significant. And the natural features define where collaboration ought to be occurring, an area of an effect, if you will. So this may be revolutionary or heretical or something like that, but I just think we got to get better at it.
The sheer abundance of Great Lakes water left one audience member from an unnamed western state astounded. He says where he comes from, capturing rainwater in barrels would be illegal because it would impact somebody else's water rights downstream. He asked MMSD's Kevin Schaefer, does Milwaukee have any issues around water rights?
No.
I think in general, we've been kind of viewed as a water-rich region.
EPA stormwater specialist Bob Newport stepped in to add context.
And we're trying to sort of mimic the natural hydrology when we talk about green infrastructure. It's like, well, what would happen in a natural condition if we didn't have these parking lots? And we capture that water in a rain garden, and the same amount of water soaks in as would have happened if the parking lot was never there to begin with. And so when you have that thought of, like, we're just mimicking the natural condition, then we don't encounter those kinds of things. But we also don't have the relative shortage of water, so the water rights laws are just not in effect in these states, in the Northeast and Midwest, like you see in the Western states.
Even though there aren't disputes, I think, over capturing water, there's a lot of attention to diverting water.
That's David Ulrich with the Great Lakes and St. Lawrence Cities Initiative.
And that water quantity issue is big time right now because of the low lake levels, particularly in Lake Michigan and Lake Huron.
One of the issues that we're dealing with,
Brian Jensen from Pittsburgh jumps in,
our Ohio River Sanitary group, they are very concerned about the potential for diverting water from the Ohio River Basin down to the Tennessee Valley area. We don't have the authority yet to keep those kinds of divertments from happening, but it is on our minds. Even though we do have an abundance of water, we want to make sure that we continue to keep that abundance.
A universal question popped up that applies to the water-rich and water-poor alike. How do you come up with the breathtaking sums required to pull off water resource management projects? MMSD's Kevin Schaefer's advice? You have to be able to tie it to economic benefits.
To economic improvements, to public health and safety improvements. I think those are some of the big themes. And then, of course, you always tie the word jobs, because everyone wants to say, oh, there's jobs, jobs, jobs. You know, talk about jobs. So it's that economic piece that I think is really the biggest seller for some of these things.
For Lake Effect, I'm Susan Bentz.
The annual conference of the Governmental Research Association wraps up today in Milwaukee. A writer tries to diffuse some of the strident tone in the debate over breastfeeding. We'll speak with her next when Lake Effect returns on Milwaukee Public Radio.